shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they
can't.
That's right. But we go there, and tonight we are going to have Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Margaret Gray is going to be joining him, and we'll be talking about this week's news. What's going to be happening out there I want to have a talk with him about that. Ted is a sponsor of ours. We might as well get Mr. Bell up from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He is a sponsor of ours, and let's talk about this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And come down here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have a hoodie-a-thon going on, and we'd like you to check out the Phil Hendry website as we sell the Ted Bell hoodie. You know, Phil, we'd like people to be aware of the fact that we have the hoodie and that we are selling the hoodie and that it is in view of recent events and in view of the news, I think it's something that in solidarity people can purchase the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I can see that you're wearing one tonight on the video cast.
Well, I am wearing the hoodie, but I wanted to ask you something. And is Margaret Gray is there, correct?
Margaret's going to be here in just a few minutes, yeah.
I wanted to ask you this. I didn't know. I knew that I know that we're pushing the hoodie, and it's a great product. We've had it in our shop for the last few months.
We have, and it has sold very well. And the reason why I'm bringing up the hoodie now, though, is in light of, and I'm not going to mention any specific news story, because I don't want it to be seen as if we are taking advantage of any specific news story. I would just simply say that in light of recent events, we would suggest that people go over to the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of the hoodies. And
all right, if we don't want to, can I interrupt and just ask something?
Clearly.
If we don't want to highlight any particular event, then why even mention that?
Why mention the what?
When you say in light of recent events, why don't you go to the Phil Hendry Show? Here's the problem I have.
No, I don't have to say that, but I don't need to say that. I just want people to know that Ted Bell, that I have been selling the Ted Bell hoodie for the last few months in the Phil Hendry shop.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, and I want people to know that.
We've been promoting it, and the hoodie is a big seller. We've sold out a couple of sizes already. We've had to do a couple of reorders, so it's a very big and popular seller because people like your restaurant, Ted, and people like your the logo.
Right, but I think we in light of recent events, and I'm not taking advantage of anything. See, well, here's what I want to say. Okay, what is that? I want to say that we're not trying to take advantage of people's feelings. We're not looking to manipulate people's feelings. I wanted to have a hoodie-a-thon because I think it's a great Friday night, kind of product, a great Friday night kind of an event here from the restaurant. Margaret's going to come in and sing one of her songs, and we'll get the audience involved in the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, because people's minds are on it.
And all right, but again, there you are talking about people. Well,
at some point, we've got to just get on with the show and not talk about.
I would like to do that, but you've brought it up a couple of times, and I want to just make it very clear here that I don't want anything to be I don't want it perceived that we're taking advantage of a very sad situation to sell hoodies.
Well, the only guy that's mentioned it is you, Phil. And
no, you said in light of recent events.
No, I said in light of recent events. I didn't say taking advantage. I didn't see taking advantage. Well, I got to.
You didn't say.
I didn't say taking advantage of recent events. I didn't say. Yes, I did say that, but I didn't see. Why can't I say that word?
I don't know. Are you having? I hope you're not having one of those.
One of those migraines. Give me a glass of water, will you?
You all right, Ted?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't seem to say the word. There, I said say. That's what I want to say. I can't I don't want to say tragic. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, all right. Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've been selling the hoodie in the shop, the Phil Henry website shop, for a couple of months now. So the winter months and the cold weather that affects most of the country is one of the reasons why we have that particular kind of a piece of apparel in our shop. When the summertime arrives, we're going to have other things. And now we have recent events. I did not really want to tie this in with that at all because I don't think that it's right. I think it's commercializing it.
Hold on, Phil. You know, you can't talk about me as if I'm not being here, as if I'm not here. I'm not commercializing anything, and I want to make it very clear to your audience, very clear. I'm not commercializing or taking advantage of any tragic event that may have happened recently that may have involved this kind of clothing. I'm simply saying that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is in your shop, and we'd like people to go over, take a look at it if you'd like to buy it in solidarity with the I won't say what it is. I'm not going to mention the news story.
How can you say in solidarity? With what, then?
I say just in solidarity. With?
With what?
With, I'm not going to say what it is. But I wish we could get on the same page here, Phil, because we have an hour of radio to do together, and I want it to work, and I don't want to argue.
I don't want to argue either. I just want to be very clear. We're selling the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's got nothing to do with anything else.
It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. I don't think it's fair of you to tell me that I can't speak a certain way.
Ted, I haven't told you to do anything. All I'm doing is giving my opinion.
Well, you've also intimated that I can't talk certain words. You're saying that I can't talk certain words. And
I haven't said you can't talk certain words.
Well, if you, those certain words that you won't, you would disapprove of me saying, if you put them together, it would come out in solidarity with the recent news events in Florida. But you won't let me say that. And
you, as I said, you can say anything you want, as you just did. I'm just saying I'm worried about the perception.
The perception, Phil, is going to be fine. I'm Ted Bell. People have eaten in my restaurant. They know who I am. I've always had and engendered goodwill for the community. I think people enjoy what we do at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I've got a sterling, crystal clear reputation with everyone in your audience. And if I say buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt in solidarity with certain events, which I won't go into, people will respect me. And I believe that in order to help with that solidarity, whatever it may be, they will go and buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt. But I'm not going to commercially take advantage of the situation, no.
Well, may I say that you've done all but take advantage of it. And
what are you talking about now?
Because you've said everything other than what the thing is that we're all supposed to be in solidarity over. And so, therefore, I think you've...
Hold on for a minute. Margaret Gray is... Margaret?
Phil, hi.
Margaret, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We have a wonderful song picked out for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I don't know if you want me to do it before the break or after the break.
Well, we can do it after the break if you want.
Well, it is a song that is about apparel. And I thought it would be very, very appropriate if I sang a song about apparel. And I'll give you a little a hint, Ted.
Go ahead.
You can leave your boot, do-do-do-do. You recognize it?
I think I do, yeah.
All right.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You don't do?
What, do you got a tin ear? I don't understand.
Oh, I don't have a tin ear. I did not...
You can leave your on.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You can leave your hat on.
Oh, for God.
What are you doing?
Why'd you do that, Phil?
I didn't know you didn't want me to say it. I apologize.
No, that's why I said you can leave your blank on. I didn't want you to say the word.
I apologize. We'll take a break. We'll be back here with Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, along with Margaret Gray from Santa Monica, California, as we continue here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is also going to check in. We are selling hoodies tonight. The problem I have is that I'm afraid it might be commercializing something that shouldn't be commercialized. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Put the restaurant on hold, please. 877-876-7445. As Ted Bell tonight rolls out attempts to make a few dollars, I think it's a bad time to be selling hoodies. And I don't think, and I'm being very honest, I don't think anybody is going to believe that if you're selling hoodies now, no one's going to believe that you don't mean to commercialize something. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ted, you there?
Well, I just heard a lot of music.
No, you're on the air.
Oh, well, we're on the air at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I just heard you say GD or something. I heard that, bud.
What?
I just heard a GD. Did you dump that?
I'm afraid I didn't.
What didn't happen?
Okay, so a GD got out over the air.
Well, why did that happen?
Well, first of all, because you said it.
I didn't know we were on the air. You told me to get ready, and the next thing I heard was a song being... I heard music.
Yeah, I had the music on by mistake.
Well, that's not my problem.
No, you're right. It is not your problem. But nonetheless, when you have a live mic...
Well, I didn't know. I knew the mic was live. I didn't know it was on the air.
Well, a live mic could be on the air, and you didn't dump it, huh?
No.
All right. Well, okay, great. 877-876-PHIL.
So in other words, I just want to be clear. The audience, the people listening to the program now, heard me say, take the Lord's name in vain.
Yes, they did.
Well, I want to apologize to everyone listening.
Roll the tape back, bud.
Don't play it again.
No, I just want to make sure.
But let me just say to everyone listening, I am deeply sorry. I've always... had a battle with myself and the language that I use. I've always tried to be much, much better, and I apologize for doing that, and I apologize certainly for using the Lord's name in vain.
Okay, what did you say? It wasn't there, Ted. Apparently you didn't say that.
You know, Phil, you're wearing my patience down.
I thought I heard you say GD.
And I didn't.
No, you did not.
So what am I apologizing for?
Well, it's a good question. If you didn't say it, then...
I didn't think I did say it, but you said that I did. So I'm apologizing because you said it got out over the air.
Yes, I did. I made a mistake.
Oh, man. You know, well, sit down, Ted, over there. Phil, I just sit down.
I'm telling you, I...
Just sit down up there. You go have a drink.
Yeah, I'm going to have a drink because, buddy...
I'm sorry. I thought I heard that. Bud didn't dump it, so, you know.
What am I? Just sit down, Ted. Just go. Just get out of here for 5 seconds, will you? You're starting to bother me, too. Phil, the problem that Ted has is if he didn't say GD, and then he goes and starts apologizing and talking about the filthy mouth that he's had his whole life, and he never said it, he didn't have to tell. You see what I'm
saying? No, I understand that. I apologize. I thought I heard him say that. If he didn't say it, he could have said that he didn't say it, you know.
Well, no, life isn't that simple. If you're on the radio and the host of the show said that you said GD, then that's what you said. Now, to all of the people listening tonight who are, I apologize if the sale of hoodies is a fact. I don't know that a lot of the people in your audience know what hoodies are, Phil. That's for starters.
Why do you say that?
Well, the late-night talk radio audience tends to be very rural, as you know, and a lot of those people just don't even, they don't get it. But to those people out there who know what a hoodie is, and you are interested in purchasing one of Ted Bell's hoodies, Remember that they are available on the Phil Hendry website, but that there is no intention of offending anyone related to recent events, even though Ted stands in solidarity with most people and how they feel about it. Why are you quiet?
Because what you're doing is, you guys, I love this. It's like what they used to call in politics, the non-denial denial. You're saying that you're not doing something that you're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm letting people know that if they were thinking about the tragedy that I won't go into, because we're not going to commercialize that.
No, if you're thinking about the tragedy that you won't go into because we're not going to commercialize that, buy a hoodie in solidarity with the tragedy that we don't want to commercialize. That's really what you're saying. And that's what I'm planning to be.
Hold on, Phil. I got to do the song.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on. I'm going to do the song. All right, everyone. This is for Ted Bell and Phil Hendry and the sale of the hoodies tonight. The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Could you close the door to the kitchen, please?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Bear the tick of your coat.
Yeah.
Real slow.
All of you people in the bar? Yeah, I'm over here. I'm Margaret Dre.
Take off your shoes.
And take off your pants. That's really what we're getting to, isn't it?
Take off your shoes.
And I'll take off your shoes while you slip off your pants. Take off your gloves.
Yes, yes, yes.
Take off your gloves. Yeah, love.
You can
leave your hat on.
You can leave your hat on.
You see what I'm doing there, Phil?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Wait a minute, kill the music. Kill the music for a minute. What do you mean, yeah?
Well, it's not my cup of tea.
Boy, don't you sound like the dandiest little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
What does that mean, little Lord Fauntleroy?
I said little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Lloyd Fauntleroy, that's a totally different guy.
What does that mean?
Well, you're all delicate.
Yeah, get real delicate. You don't like it, huh? She's singing about a lady taking her clothes off for a man. You understand what that is, don't you?
Yes, I understand what that is. What I don't like is the way she's singing the song.
You don't like the way I'm singing? Is that what your problem is?
Yeah, you can leave your hat on! What is that? I mean, God! Got a nosebleed.
Well, you got a pair on you, don't you? You know that I'm not the kind of woman that you mess with. You know that if I was standing there right now, I'd put the heel of a high heel right into your eyeball. You know that, don't you?
That's what I've heard. I don't know that I believe it.
Take it from me, Phil.
Have you seen her do that?
I haven't seen her do it, but I've heard graphic descriptions of it.
You better believe it.
Well, I don't think you're that crazy. I just don't think that you would do that. If you'd done that to someone, you'd be in jail.
Is that right? Who am I married to again? Oh, I'm sorry. A lawyer? Wow.
You don't get that, do you, Phil?
I don't think, and I know Frank Gray, and he's not a criminal.
Phil, this has been anybody that has ever given me trouble, I take off a high heel, and I bury the heel in their eyeball. Now, am I making myself clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there you go. Good boy. Now, when we come back from this commercial break, I want people around their radio tonight to listen to the song that I've been trying to do for my very dear friend Ted Bell and the sale of these Ted Bell hoodies that have nothing at all to do...
Yeah, I know, with the tragedy that of recent events that we don't want to mention.
Bill, you're cheapening yourself. Every time you say that, you just make yourself look cheap.
No, Ted, what's going on here tonight... And every time I got you guys on the air, you know, we're always into some argument about this because you have some very warped perception or warped definition of what commercialism is. I believe that when you sit there and say, we are not going to tie this into recent events, all you do is direct people's attention to it. And you make yourself look like you're commercializing it.
No, Phil, what I've been listening to, and I heard this as I was driving in, and Frank heard it too, I heard you, every time Ted just tried to blow it off and move on, you're going, well, now, Ted... You know, or it was more like, how was it, Frank? Listen, Ted. Yeah, that was it. Listen, Ted.
Oh,
just
pretty good.
We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, who's sponsoring?
Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And philhenryshow.com, Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait a minute. We got to turn some of this music off, bud. What are you doing, man? All right. God. Steakhouse. Come on down. You're on, Ted.
Yeah, thanks. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight to get the best steak you could possibly get. And in the meantime, visit the Phil Henry Show shop for your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Although, I don't know. I don't even think you've got any listeners left.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, every time we come back from a break, Phil, hey, bud, turn the music off. Hey, bud.
You're really right, Phil. Ted, go sit down again. You're going to get yourself up.
I swear to God, if I stroke out over this.
Sit down. You know, Phil, he's really right. It's been very sloppy tonight.
Oh, is that right? Well, excuse me, but we've got a number of things going on here. All right, we've got a remote going on from Ted's restaurant. I got Bud Dickman, who's never the sharpest tool in the toolbox. And, you know, and then I've got you.
But what does that mean, I've got you? What does that mean?
Well, with that, you can leave your hat on, you know.
Look, I've got another song that I want to do. This one is clothing related. I'd appreciate it if you didn't start running your yap until I'm done with the song. If it's okay with you. Would that be all right with you?
That's fine, yeah.
Oh, well, great day in the morning. I get to get through a song. Here's one about wearing clothing, and I think the clothing that you people want to wear out there is your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. That's right. Go to the Phil Henry Show website, click on Shop, hit Apparel, and get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie in solidarity of recent events.
I knew you'd do that.
Quiet. Quiet, please. But you wear your hoodie well. A little old-fashioned, but that's all right.
Wow.
He wouldn't get in touch with me. He wouldn't even want to touch my knee or touch me over there. I sure do want to. Here we go. You wear it well. There ain't a lady in the man so fine. Is that nice, Ted?
I love it.
All right, hold on.
What?
Hold on, turn it off. God almighty.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know, Phil. Have you been to a doctor? Aren't you in therapy?
What is wrong with you? What have I been to a doctor? Did you hear that? Ooh.
Oh, my God. You do need a doctor.
What is wrong? Why do you keep interrupting her?
She's flat. She's off key. The song, as I remember it, and as everybody else remembers it, is getting butchered alive as she sings it.
I'll handle this, Ted. I'll handle it, Ted. Sit down. Get yourself another cocktail. Jose, Mr. Bell, get him his Pimm's cup. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want the cucumber.
Get him the Pimm's cup with the cucumber. There you go. Go, you go over there, dear.
Pimm's cup, jeez.
Oh, is that gay?
No, I always figured Ted for a Scotch man, but...
Oh, I see. So he's not manly enough for you.
I didn't say that at all.
Bill, what I am doing as a professional singer, you should know this about me. I am simply improvising and escalating the rhythmic and harmonic possibilities of the song. So when Rod Stewart sings, "Will you wear it well?" All right, we know that that's the melody, and that's fine, and that's all well and good. Great, we've been there, done that. Can we do something else?
Well, I was just...
Can we do something else?
I was just...
Can we do something else. So when he sings, you wear it well, I do this. But you wear it well. A little old-fashioned, but that's okay. See, I sang professionally, Phil, for so many years.
That was the most horrific thing that I...
Are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. What you just did there was horrifying.
You know, I hear that from a lot of women that are, for instance, the mothers at Jason J. Delmonico School. A lot of these, I call them clubhouse sluts. And they're jealous of the fact that I had a career in entertainment. So they'll say, Margaret, your voice sounds as if someone stuck a hyena's tail into a garbage disposal. And I'll say to them, why, you look at the little clubhouse slut. And they scatter off to their SUV. And is that what you're going to do tonight, Phil? So it's a real big joke, huh?
What's he doing now? He's insulting you, Margaret.
I've got it, kid. Go back and... Jose, Mr. Bell's Pimm's Cup. There you go. Is that what you're doing, insulting me, Phil?
That was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. All the little clubhouse slut. What is a clubhouse slut?
You don't know what a clubhouse slut is?
No.
It means these are women that found their husbands by hanging around country clubs, by slutting it up in these country club bars and restaurants, or for some of them, like Sue Del Griffin, I don't want to mention any names, but she deserves it, literally hanging around the locker room door. Can you imagine that? You imagine the stink and the disease?
What, are you talking about a clubhouse?
I'm talking about the locker room of a country club, yes.
The men's clubhouse?
Yes.
Well, what? I don't know that it's disease. I mean, you know, there's guys in there changing their clubs. Golfers are not the, you know, we're not talking about a bunch of guys that just got done playing rugby. You know, it's a sport that is not necessarily going to make you stink to high heaven.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the clubhouse slut that takes that infection and spreads it into every decent family in every private clubhouse in Palm Springs. So,
boy, I have no idea. And, you know, let me just say to my audience, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I'm letting my... You can back off for a second, and we're talking with Margaret Gray here. We also have Ted Bell, who we're doing a live remote from the restaurant. To take our, you know, catch our breath here, and they are pushing the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. Now, it's my feeling, and I could be wrong, but it's my feeling that the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, this is a bad time to tie any, you don't want to tie this in with anything that is happening in the news. If you want to sell the hoodie, that's fine, because the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie has been for sale on our website for a number of months. But to some kind of a radio-a-thon where you say, hey, we have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and it's in solidarity over recent events, I don't like it, I don't buy it, I don't find it to be tasteful at all. They feel that there is nothing untoward about it. I think there's some commercial, I think there's commercialism at its worst there. That's the argument we're having, and Mr. Bell obviously has purchased the airtime here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's get back over to Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Ted, I my understanding is you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I do want to say something, since it is my remote broadcast, Phil. I don't think it's fair of you to say on your show that you feel we're commercializing this. I have said over and over that we're not commercializing. And if I say we're not commercializing something, then I have to say, what is it that we're not commercializing? Recent events is what I said. So that when we sell the hoodie, we don't want anyone to think we're commercializing anything. But we have to say it because they may think that we are.
Well, then why would you say purchase one in solidarity over recent events?
If they feel like they want to buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events, am I the guy to tell them no?
That's a really good point, Phil. What's he supposed to do? Say, oh, by the way, don't buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events.
Yeah. Keep your business. Please don't. If that's why you're going to buy one, don't do it.
Should he say that?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, he should.
Well, boy, are you... Wow, man. How did you survive the cradle? Honest to God. Were you born with your brain outside of your skull? Because I've heard of kids...
Okay, Ted. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand.
What are you talking about? I'm going to turn away business. Why?
You're turning away business if there's anybody who is suddenly all jazzed about getting a hoodie over this terrible, tragic event that we're talking about.
Recent events is what I said. You're the guy that keeps wanting to allude to it.
I want to finish my song, if you don't mind.
That's fine. Now we got what?
David Hall.
David Hall again. This is the second night in a row with David Hall.
Well, I don't want to hear from him until I get to finish my song, and I was told that I was good. Now, I don't want to do You Wear It Well, Bud. I just was using that as an example of the kind of harmonics that I'm capable of and that the song is capable of. But I do want to get into deeper into You Can Leave Your Hat On. So, Bud Dickman, without further ado, let's hear that song. That's not the song, you... That's not the song, you idiot. You idiot. That's not the song. Thank you.
I don't think calling him an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Yes, you are an idiot. That wasn't the song. Everybody, I'm Margaret Gray for the Peds of Beverly Hills Hoodie. David G. Hall is waiting, I know, on hold, but he doesn't get to come on until I sing the song.
Okay, can I say something?
No. Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie.
And take off your shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'll take off your shoes.
You take off a shoe and I'll take off a shoe.
Baby, take off your dress.
You take off your dress, honey, and I'll take off Frank. Take off your dress.
Okay.
Isn't that cute?
That's a riot.
Your hat on. What I did there, Phil?
Yeah, what you did there is basically put a garage door up. Another one went up.
Oh, is that you, lousy?
Hold on for a minute.
All right, we're taking a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our remote live from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Leave your head on.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm gonna kill you, bud, if you don't turn that off, man.
Butchered my show.
Your show.
Ted here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and if you haven't picked up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, you probably won't now because of the developmentally disabled guy that works for Phil Henry who's carved my show up a new one. Thank you.
That was unnecessary, Ted.
Unnecessary? What do you think he's been doing the whole hour?
You got, when we have two sources of audio coming up on one pot.
That doesn't concern me. I'm not some audio guy. I'm a restaurant owner. Telling me your problems? I'm not interested in your problems.
It gets Bud confused.
Yeah, does it? Maybe you ought to get somebody else in there.
Shut up, Mr. Bell. I'm developmentally disabled.
No, you're not. Henry said you weren't.
He's not. He was injured in a motorcycle accident. So why'd you say he was?
Just to see if he'd bite on it. Now, look, Phil, I got one more shot. Margaret has one more song to do, and then we got to wrap up because I've got a whole, I got a convention of I don't know what these guys are. They're businessmen from out of town. They're coming in. They've got a late dinner. We've got our prime rib room is reserved for these guys, and I don't know what they are. I don't know where they're from. I've got no idea, and it's scaring me, but they booked the room for twice the price. And have already come up with a 20% tip guaranteed, and they promised more. So,
so in other words, you got some money to make.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So, Margaret, I know that...
Let me say, Ted, why don't you get ready for these guys that are coming in, okay?
Don't say it like that.
Like what?
Well, you're saying get ready for the guys that are coming in.
I didn't say it anyway.
Well, you said it in a way like I'm going to be putting on a dress or something.
Oh, get out of here, will you, Ted, and do what you're going to do?
I didn't do it.
God. All right, here is the song that I'm going to cap the evening with, Phil. You reminded me of it And I can still remember standing off stage on Broadway. Out on stage was Christopher Plummer, as well as Mary Martin. They cued me. I came in wearing a taffeta gown and pearl slippers, and I sang the following song. I am 16 going on 17. I know that I'm naive. You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Wait, wait a second.
Don't interrupt me, please.
Wait a minute. What song is that?
That happens to be from The Sound of Music.
You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Yes. Oh, my God, he doesn't know the song.
Wait, I can't have that.
What do you want?
What do I want? I'm the owner of the restaurant.
I'm in the middle of the song right now, Ted.
Wait a second. I just got a new pizza oven in. You want to know what? Phil, you can tell her the hell I went through with a pizza oven, okay? I had to go through three different shippers to get a pizza oven that was not made in Germany. And if you think for 5 seconds I'm going to have you singing some horse whistle number.
It is not the horse whistle. It is Sound of Music.
Well, what did Phil, do they got a Nazi thing?
No, they don't have a Nazi song.
Well, do they have anything Nazi in that?
They got a the plot, the boy becomes a Nazi.
Who does?
The daughter falls in love with one of the village guys. It's a little village love affair. But he becomes a Nazi.
Well, what the hell is she doing? You can't have that.
It's Sound of Music, Ted. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. I had no idea it had any Nazi subplots, or I never would have allowed it anywhere near my restaurant. You're telling me the one with Julie Andrews. I love Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I won't have that lousy goose-stepping slut anywhere near...
Whoa, dude. You're taking it all out of proportion here. What do you think it is?
What is this whoa, dude? What do I look like to you, huh? Some guy with a backpack on, smoking a joint under a tree after school? I said I don't want that goose-stepping slut anywhere near here. Now, I used to love Julie Andrews, but not anymore.
And can you get him to lay down. Get him to lay down. My God.
You know, he's losing his mind.
Well, I don't blame him, the things he's had to put up with tonight. I am 16.
I'm going to use the bathroom.
Certainly. They have pushed me, Phil, out of the prime rib room because they're getting it set up for these drunks that are coming in later. I was in the main dining room. They've pushed me now all the way down near the men's room. This is where I'm having to do my song. I am 16. Yes, I know you knocked the phone out of my hand.
Right.
Would you close the bathroom door? Because I can see you taking your pants off in there.
All right.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. They've got me in the hall near the men's room. I am 16 going on.
Sorry.
Door hit me in the back. I am... Oh. Oh! My nose. I am...
Forget it, okay? Forget it, Margaret, okay? Forget it!
Phil, yeah, Margaret. Her nose is bleeding. Get over there. Plug her nose up. Stick something in that hole. Her nose! Yes. I can't tell you, Phil, but I got this big party coming in, okay?
Look, Ted, can I tell you something?
What?
Sound of Music ain't a Nazi thing, okay? Do you understand? Sound of Music is it's a musical. It's only got one thing about Nazis in it.
What do you mean Nazis? I mean, you know my clientele, Beverly Hills?
I understand. But the fact is that in that play, the girl falls in love with a kid, and it's one of the tragedies of the play, of the musical, that the family escapes. The family has to escape because their beautiful, beloved Austria has turned Nazi, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the people that they have to leave behind, who they thought was their friend, and he's turned into a Nazi, is this boy that the girl loves.
Song, I'm 17 going on 31. What is that?
No. It's the girl and the boy are singing to each other. It's at a point in the play where it's a very innocent thing and they're falling in love. And she says, I am 16 going on 17. And he's a year older than her. And they sing this song to each other about how he'll protect her and take care of her. What are you crying?
Very sentimental. Was it a big day?
Okay, Ted, I hope we sold some hoodies tonight, and I'm glad we cleared up that whole overly commercialized thing.
Hey, let me tell you something, my friend.
You're really emotional over that, huh?
He says. I'll tell you something. There ain't nothing that we did tonight that commercialized anything or overstepped any bounds that comes anywhere near the fact that that woman brought into my restaurant tonight is a lassie.
You really got to get a grip, Jack. You talk about me needing a doctor.
I didn't say I didn't need one. I said you need one. That doesn't mean I don't need one. All right? What is that? That's music?
That's your music.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, but stay out of the prime rib room. We've got a real big party in there. They've booked the room through 2 a.m. Don't even go near it.
Well, that sounds welcoming.
You better believe it.
And we're out at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Okay, out.
Thank you very much, bud. Turn the phone. Get the phone out of here.
All right, and out.
Yeah. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. A couple of more hours. Our news and information hour coming up as well.
I am 16 going on 17.
Phil Henry. Woo! Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Friday night. This has been a night of unexpected twists and turns. We had another guest booked. We will most likely, but I think, probably get him on later in the hour. But we wanted to get Bobby Dooley online here. She's at an event at Western Estates that is wrapping up right now. But the news this evening from West Hollywood was Kim Kardashian. She, the daughter of the late Robert Kardashian, the sister, of course, of Khloe and Kourtney, as well as Rob Kardashian, and the daughter of Kris Kardashian Jenner. She was at an event at the London Hotel in West Hollywood sometime this evening when she was attacked by a group of anti-fur people. And she was flower bombed, so...
I thought that that she was hurt. She was not hurt?
No, she was not hurt.
Thank God. Well.
All right, well, she's fine. But it was more of one of those satirical kinds of assaults where you're hit with a pie. In this instance, Ms. Kardashian was hit with a flower bomb. The assailant was unknown. It was on the red carpet of this fragrance launch. Actually, it was Thursday evening, excuse me, not this evening, Thursday evening, last night.
I did not hear about it, Phil, because I've been gone all day helping to set up some of the events that we've had for our mothers here. But I will say this. I am so grateful, number one, that she's fine. I think that whoever did this is very cowardly. I think that regardless of what Ms. Kardashian involves herself in business-wise, to attack someone this way as an anonymous person, it could very well have been very very dangerous or tragic. You don't necessarily know what these people have.
Absolutely. And I should let people know, you've been a big supporter of the Kardashians.
I think they're an amazing, I love the Kardashians. I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we want to be a little bit like the Kardashians. They have obviously an enormous amount of money, which comes from very, very hard work on the part of the father, as well as some of the work. The girls, I think, have done a great job of continuing the legacy of having a lot of things that they are that a lot of us would like to have. I think that they are, obviously they're beautiful. All of the women in that family are just beautiful. Excuse me, Phil. And
it sounds like you're. Am I taking you away from this event?
No, we're wrapping up, Phil. It's getting late. But I think Kim Kardashian is a step above even her sisters and her mother, because She has combined beauty with a very savvy business sense. And let's be very honest, she is a woman with a very full figure. More so than Jennifer Lopez, she has popularized that sort of big booty look that we've heard so much about when Jennifer Lopez was very popular. And, of course, Jennifer Lopez was only going to take it so far. And the other thing about the Kardashians is that they have done all of this coming from the standpoint of being a minority, members of a minority, and making a business success of themselves. So I find them to be just refreshing and brilliant. And whoever did this should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
We're talking to Bobby Dooley from Western Estates about the attack on Kim Kardashian. It was last night. It was not tonight. It was at the London Hotel in West Hollywood. She was hit with a bunch of flour, a bag of flour or something that exploded. This flour exploded. According to TMZ, the assailant attacked Kardashian from behind, shouting, "Fur hag." Bobby, you know these people?
Yes, I do know who they are. I got into a series of very heated exchanges on Twitter with a group of women who were virulently and violently angry at the Kardashian family. I would like to say at this time they're from Australia.
These are the women that you were talking to on Twitter?
Yes, on Twitter, Australians and British.
Any of them American?
Not that I could tell. These women made a point of saying that they were from Australia. They were very nasty. They were vulgar. They used all kinds of four-letter words. They resented the fact that I was living in America and brought up the fact that, you know, the obvious superiority that we have to them.
Okay, well, and how did they take that?
Well, they didn't take it well. And finally, I just told them that much of what they think they know, they don't know, that I live in a gated community, that we have money, so I can speak to what the Kardashians have. And so I think it's...
But what? Let me ask you a question here about fur. Let's talk about this for a moment, Bobby. Kim Kardashian, and I've seen her in fur. I've seen her posing in fur. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's this kind of faux fur or fake fur. I don't know what the philosophy of this woman and perhaps other members of her family. I saw her sister, Khloe Kardashian, had a picture taken of her, and it probably didn't mean anything. She was at a zoo in Dallas where she's moved with her husband, Lamar Odoms, who's now playing with the Dallas Mavericks. But she was sitting at the zoo there in front of a picture of what looked like a leopard.
Yes, I saw that picture.
And I thought it was a rather... I didn't like the photo because I don't like zoos.
Well, Phil, you know, you may not like zoos, but that wasn't Mrs. Odoms taking a leopard out of the cage and turning it into a jacket.
No, I understand that.
But to answer your question about fur, I think you need to understand, and I think a lot of people need to understand, that as humans, we are the superior creature on this earth. Now, there are no other animals on this earth like humans. We have the ability to rationally think and to laugh. And we have the ability, Phil, to not only exploit animals, we also protect animals. And when we hear people talking about how the Khloe Kardashians of the world, they're wearing fur, how many times do they say to Ms. Kardashian, but thank you for being kind to animals. Thank you for having a pet or this kind of thing. They don't.
Having a pet dog or a pet cat and then turning around and wearing the fur of a wild animal.
Well, Phil, again, human beings, and this is my point, we have the right to wear the kind of clothing that we feel is necessary. And if it is necessary for us to wear the skin of an animal because we are superior on this world, and the animals were put here to be exploited by humans, as God himself says in the Bible, then I think we should recognize that that's what we should do. And I think people who don't understand that are just hateful. And I think a lot of it has to do with Ms. Kardashian's beauty, her wealth, the fact that she's sought after by men. Most of the fur, anti-fur people are female. Well, you put it all together, Phil, and what have you got? You've got a very morally bankrupt movement of anti-fur people who really don't care that much about the animals so much as they care about the fact that Kim Kardashian's beautiful, wealthy, a terrific businesswoman, and has the most handsome, wealthiest, and most eligible bachelors in the world seeking her company.
Bobby Dooley joining us. It's a pretty, I would say, very accurate description of Kim Kardashian, whether people would take that to be a good description or not.
Well, I don't see how they would not.
Well, we'll see. Our number is 877-876-7445. Kim Kardashian being attacked by anti-fur activists in Los Angeles yesterday, and Ms. Dooley, they're taking her side, saying that fur, the fur of animals, regardless of what you think, is still there to be exploited by people, and that Ms. Kardashian, in modeling these styles that have animal fur, is simply articulating that. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here with Bobby Dooley on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, and on the line with me, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and Austin Amarca is due to join us, a man who himself tried to get on an airplane, I think, at Dare Springs Regional Airport in California today. He tried to get on a commercial airliner with loaded weapons. So we're going to talk to him in a moment, 877-876-7445 with Bobby Dooley, as we talk about Kim Kardashian. She was hit with this flower bomb by these anti-fur hags, or no, these anti-fur people. They called her a fur hag.
Yes, they did. They called her a fur hag. And the reason why is because she, Kim Kardashian has talked about wearing fur. And the reason why she's talked about wearing fur is because human beings, being superior animals. There's one other thing, Phil, that needs to be mentioned, that if we did not wear fur, if we did not exploit animals for their fur, many of these animals that are exploited for their fur would wind up dying in the wild because they're not able to, survive the temperatures and the climate and the kind of heat or the cold that comes with having to deal with that very heavy coat of fur.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me, in other words, that human beings need to take animals for their fur, otherwise the animal dies?
Because of the hot weather, yes. Because the heat on that animal, it will kill that animal.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to another phone call here. This is Diane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. I'm enjoying your program. I wanted to mention to the lady that I am an anti-fur person. I'm not an anti-fur hag. No, I didn't say you're. They called Kim Kardashian that. Well, I agree with that. I think Kim Kardashian is is a fur hag. I think what she's done, and I think what her family's done, continues to be a crime against the animals of this world. And I think anyone that supports the Kardashians in their promotion of fur as a fashion accessory or as something to wear, I think you're complicit in that crime.
Oh, really? Yes, really. Can you answer me a question, Ms. Dooley, if you would?
You said that we are superior animals, that humans are superior, and so therefore we have the right to slaughter and strip from an animal their fur. Could you please expand on that? I'd be more than happy to. I think it's very clear that human beings are the most intelligent animals on Earth. We are the only animal that walks on two legs, and the reason why we walk on two legs is because we have evolved to a point where we use the other two limbs to carry things or to carry out other tasks. So this is also very highly evolved. When you put all of this together, human beings really do have the right to exploit the earth for what they need. And if it is to exploit animals, hold on right there for a minute. Would you please explain something to me? If we are the most advanced people on earth, why then do we take animals and brutally murder them for their fur? Because we have the right to do that because we're more intelligent, are we? Can you tell me, please, Ms. Dealey, if we're that much more intelligent, why we can't just wear clothing that we make ourselves? We can, but we also have an aesthetic sense. That means we sometimes wish to wear fur. So sometimes we want to torture animals. Well, I don't think it's torturing animals to kill them first. And I think it is torturing animals to kill them because it takes their life away from them. Well, I'm sure you're not foolish enough to think that an animal is an intelligent being. I think many animals are as intelligent as small children. So do dogs have the same rights as a small child? I think they do, yes.
You're kidding.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you hear what we're up against, Phil? Do you hear the idiots? I resent being called an idiot. I'm not an idiot. Well, you have to be an idiot to think that a dog has the same rights as a small child. I didn't say rights. I meant, yes, you did say rights. I meant to say that a dog has the same intelligence as a small child.
But all right, so if a dog has the same intelligence as a small child, do you think a dog has the same rights?
No, I don't think a dog has the same rights, but I think a dog has every right in the world to expect. We don't wear dog fur, ma'am. I don't know what you're worried about. Kim Kardashian does not wear dog fur. None of the Kardashians do. And I think at some point you have to be honest with yourself and say that what's really on your mind, that you are not as attractive as her. I'm not even going to dedicate. I heard you say that, and I thought I was going to laugh myself sick. I'm not going to dignify that with a response. You know, are you saying that you're not jealous of Kim Kardashian? I'm not jealous of Kim Kardashian. Are you being honest? Yes, I am.
Hello? Oh, we lost the line. Bud, if you could get that line back. We're talking with Bobby Dooley and a caller on Kim Kardashian, who was flower bombed at a hotel in... Are you back, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Did we lose the caller?
Yeah, she's up the line.
All right, so we lost the caller. All right, let me just pick up with what that lady was saying. She was saying that because we are superior, that doesn't mean that we therefore have carte blanche to exploit animals.
I don't see why not, Phil.
Well, I'm just saying to you that, you know, if you want me to apply some morality to it, I always apply this line of thinking. What is the most constructive thing?
Well, I think what's constructive is to use what is at hand. And if an animal, a perfectly good animal, which is not an equal to a human being, and I think that's what the Kardashians are trying to teach us, if there's anything that we learn from what Kim and Khloe and Courtney are saying, and Chris and Robert, they're saying use what we have. And we can wear animal fur and still admire and enjoy animals in a zoo setting.
Well, I'd say I'm against zoos.
That's what I mean, Phil. You and people like you, I think you're irrational. I just don't think it's something that's going to work in the long run, being against zoos and being against fur. It goes against what humans want the most, which is education
and comfort. And I think if you look at what Chloe and Kim and Courtney and Chris have been teaching us and talking to us about through their television shows and through their, obviously, the sale of their fragrances and their clothes, the overriding message is, look at us, we're humans. Let's celebrate that for a change, as opposed to being ashamed of our humanity and dragging ourselves through the streets with our heads down, ashamed that we walk on two legs, ashamed that we have superior intelligence, ashamed that we're beautiful. Some of us, and all of us are beautiful, but some of us are. Obviously, some of us look like Kim Kardashian. She's smashingly beautiful, but we're all beautiful. And that's what Kim's trying to say to us. And if we can learn that lesson, and if we can wake up, finally wake up to the fact that the anti-fur people are simply trying to make us all equal so that we are all rolling around in the mud, walking barefoot, eating meat off of a stick, giving birth to our babies in ditches. You know what? This is what I'm talking about, Phil.
Yeah, well, it makes it sound like that the anti-fur people want to take us right back to a primitive lifestyle.
That is exactly what they want. Don't make any mistake.
Well, that would mean taking more animal skins.
That would mean competing with the animals for the same resources. That's what they want. What they really want is to see a new kind of genocide where humans don't kill humans, where the animal kingdom destroys humanity.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Bobby Dooley, and we'll get back here as we talk about Kim Kardashian and the anti-fur campaign that's been going against her.
Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Bobby Dooley. We had planned another guest for this segment, but we got Ms. Dooley at the last second to comment on Kim Kardashian, who had a flower bomb thrown on her at a West Hollywood hotel last evening, because she is an advocate of wearing fur. And these are anti-fur people. Bobby, you have been talking to some of the anti-fur people on Twitter. You say that a lot of them are from Australia?
There's a lot of them from Australia and from Britain. I find the most strident and the most, illogical and hysterical anti-fur people are British people. They've got such a deep streak of resentment there. And again, I don't mean to try to be funny. I wonder if it has to do with, Kim Kardashian is a very classic beauty. I don't think we think of England when we think of classic beauties.
All right, well, let's not get that way, because you don't know. You're getting into issues. Let's not trivialize people's opposition to fur. Let's get at it from an intelligent position,
I think I'm being very intelligent, Mr. Hendry.
Well, to say that they're against Kim Kardashian wearing fur because they're jealous of her beauty may be just a bit much. Let's go to a phone call. We have Dakota here on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Dakota.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Us as being natives and Vikings and Mongolians have been wearing fur for centuries. It's normal. And in the part with Kim Kardashian,
exactly.
Chloe did an article with I believe PETA, I'm not too sure, but it was I'd rather wear nothing than fur, or I'd rather be naked than fur than wear fur. So,
and that was who? Which sister was that?
Chloe.
Oh, Chloe. Well, Chloe, you have to understand, Chloe is the one that's married to Lamar Odoms. She's a lot. She's in Dallas, which means that she's a little bit removed from the West Coast now.
Well, Chloe also said in the article that if she'd been there, she would have gone after these She's in. She agrees with the anti-fur people.
Well, yes, but she said she would have gone after those women that attacked her sister.
I guess that's natural, though.
But I agree with the young man here. Your name is Dakota?
Yeah.
That's a name. Is that an Indian name?
Yes, it means friend.
That's a lovely name. So you're pro-fur. Are you pro-fur?
Yes, as long as they're not wearing it in, like, a derogatory way.
Mm-hmm. And what is a derogatory way? What do you mean by that?
To exploit it, you know, to say, hey, look at me, you know, I have money.
Look at me, I've got a fur coat. Hold on, Dakota and Phil?
Yeah?
Could you guys hold on for a minute? Would you ladies take it outside, please? Because I'm on the radio on the Phil Hendry Show. It's very loud, yeah. And as a native, do you, so you do believe in fur. And so this is something, this is an agreement that we can have. I'm a white man. I'm not a white man. I'm a white woman. But this is an agreement across cultural lines. I'm white. You're a native. If this were an old movie, I might say to you, me, friend, you know, but it's not. These are modern times. And so I say to you, I wear fur, and you don't have a problem with that.
No, it's warmth. I mean, it's clothing.
But there's a difference here that I'm hearing Dakota say. He's saying that as long as you don't exploit it or wear it in a disrespectful way. So what you mean by that, Dakota, is an ornament, like if somebody went out to a I don't know, a movie premiere wearing a fur coat, would you call that ostentatious and yeah. Would you call that a disrespectful?
Yeah. I mean,
now I don't get it. Now I don't get it because, all right, what if it was winter and she's wearing a fur coat to the premiere of, let's say Dances with Wolves. Let's say Dances with Wolves. And she's wearing it to, or even if she's wearing it to, you know, something silly like Custer's Last Stand.
Well, all right, where are we going with this?
Well, I want to know, myself being a white man, and I call myself a white man, and Dakota being of the native people, is the tradition of me, friend, does it still exist? You know, Dakota?
Of course, yeah.
But wait a minute. Now, Dakota, you're an American, Dakota. Would you call yourself an American, or would you say first you're a native? Or what is your tribe?
I'm Native American, yes.
Okay. And what is your nation? What nation do you belong to, or tribe do you belong to?
Little Mountain Band of Chippewa.
It's the Chippewa. Hold on for a minute. Steve, it's the Chippewa.
I'm going to look it up there now.
Yeah, the Chippewa. Is that the same as the ones that you see in the film, you know? I don't know what they're called.
What are you talking about?
Well, the ones that are attacking wagon trains, that's not what they do, is it right?
Let's keep some of these.
No, the ones that attack wagon trains, like in the movies.
Let's keep this on a more intelligent level.
No, I'm talking about.
That movie, that one guy got scalped in Dance with the Wolf.
Like the man that got scalped in Dance with the Wolf.
What are you talking about?
What Indian tribe was that? God.
We don't know. It was a film. I have no idea. It was the Southwest. I guess they were Apache or Comanche.
Yeah, that sounds more correct.
Those are Southwestern Indians.
Oh, well, okay, get a load of Dr. Hendry, anthropologist, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Hate in the ass.
Get out of here. Just hung up on her. Wow, how about that, huh?
I guess.
God. So, Dakota, that's very interesting, man. So you're a Native American. You're a member of the Chippewa. But it's you mentioned a mountain. What is it, Turtle Mountain, did you say?
Yep, Turtle Mountain, Chippewa.
Okay, so that's different. Would that be different? So that's North Dakota. So that's different from another group of Chippewa?
There would be a different... some in, Michigan, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not really too sure of their names, but...
All right. My question then is, how effective are these different nations and tribes, and how well are you doing these days in putting forth the you know, keeping the integrity of the native people alive, the political issues that are important to them. You know what I'm saying? Is it healthy? Is it strong? Are you guys struggling?
It's pretty rough, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you find that more and more Native people, especially young people, simply want to go out and assimilate into American society as just, you know, everybody else? Is that what's going on? Or?
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, you know, there are some, what we call them, lost Natives, you could say.
And they're lost because they're lost because why, man? Because they're out in you know, the white world, and they're not making it.
Yeah, basically. There's a lot of natives, especially from my reservation, that really believe in the old ways.
Right.
I was in a clan. I know people who they still do make fur. You know, they make leather. They make chamois for cars. I mean.
Sure, sure.
I mean, it's just our culture. I mean, there's some that can adapt, and then there's others that fail.
And in making those different, do you sell those products to anybody? Are these things that you sell among yourselves? If Phil Henry comes driving onto into Chippewa land, can I buy a chamois made out of an animal?
I want to get in here, Phil.
What does she hold on, Dakota? Hold on. What are you doing back?
What about you? Hung up on me?
Yeah, I hung up on you with that goofball stuff you were talking about.
I want to ask this young man one more question.
Go ahead.
Dakota, is that an Indian name? Is that an Indian name?
Because get
her out of it. She's an idiot. She's an idiot, man. Hey, Dakota, it's good talking with you. And where are you this evening? You're in North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
And you're up near Fargo, huh? Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what does your family do, man? What does your are you in school? Are you in high school? What are you doing?
No, I already graduated. I'm 19. I'm thinking about probably going to welding in Wahpeton. But my dad does grain bins for Makata. We go all around North Dakota, Minnesota, everywhere, and we help farmers out. And,
that's awesome.
So we're a small business, so we're barely getting by, even as it is.
Well, but still, man, your pops is in business for himself. But you know, the economy sucks, man. It sucks. It sucks for everybody now.
It
sucks. But things will come back. All right, young man. Nice to talk to you. Really appreciate you calling.
Yeah. You too. Thanks.
Okay, pal.
God bless.
All right, brother. See you later. Bye, bye.
Yep.
God bless. That's a nice. Nice young man there, bud.
Yes, really nice guy. He answered a phone, and his mom was there too.
And he's laying it out there for us, you know, the native ways. And what do I got to keep talking to her for?
Mr. Hall said you got her because she's buying time on the show.
She's buying time.
Yes, that's right. The Western Estates Homeowners Association, our springtacular is coming up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're buying time. Now, I want to ask the young man, do Native Americans still make bow and arrows? And do they...
He's not here anymore. He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
Yeah, we're done talking and we're going to a commercial break.
That was my one connection to the reality that fur is cool and you hung up on him? God will not permit this to happen. I am going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny.
She's nuts. She's nuttier than that whoever it was we were talking to last hour. Ted. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hold on, Ms. Dooley, I'll hang up on you again if you...
I don't understand, Mr. Henry, and this is the point that I think Kim and not Chloe, because I just found out that Chloe's a little bit of a backstabber, but Courtney, why aren't we allowed to wear the fur the same way that the Chippewa. That the Chippewa do, and the others? Why?
because we don't know how to properly go into the woods. And one of the things that Native people do is they make friends with the animals. And then I guess they skin them. I don't know the philosophy there, you know.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, if you look at the Native people and the relationship, for instance, to buffalo, they respect the buffalo. They call the buffalo their friend. They call the buffalo their brother. And yet they kill it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, Mr. Henry, but I'm looking at a Chippewa.
No, that's not weird at all. It's not weird at all.
You don't think that's weird?
No, I don't think that's weird. No, looking at it from the standpoint of how they've shared for centuries and centuries and centuries, a hunter-gathering people, which most of the natives in at least parts of the United States are, they would look upon the buffalo as their brother because he feeds them. He is a source of food and warmth. Here is Tamika on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Tamika. You're on with Bobby Dooley.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on about the Kim Kardashian thing. I think she has a right to wear fur if she wants to, and I think the lady that people that protest against people that wear fur, they have a right to do that. But the comment that you made about we supposed to skin the animals in order to help them so they won't die off in when they're in their natural habitat, I think that was a crazy comment that you made about that. But she does have a right to wear her fur if that's what she want to do, and they also have a right to protest that. And I don't think that everybody that disagrees with the Kardashians are jealous of Kim and her look.
Well, I think that there's something irrational about these people who are, no fur, no fur. You know, I mean, have you ever, I don't think there's a woman out there, yourself included, Tamika, that doesn't want to put on a beautiful mink stole or a sable, you know, a nice fur, or a fur jacket or a fur vest. You know, I saw a pair, this is really funny, but I swear I would pay top dollar for these. I saw a pair of fur hot pants. Oh, my God.
Well, that sounds asinine.
I beg your pardon?
That sounds ridiculous. Fur hot pants.
Well, you're not a woman. But, Tamika, I think when you look at Kim Kardashian and how beautiful she is, and then you look at the average woman in Australia...
Why do you keep throwing the looks up in there? I don't understand that. It has nothing to do with looks. People have their opinions about certain things. Like I said again, everybody that have disagree with Kim Kardashian, which I don't disagree with her, if she want to wear fur, she can. But not everybody that disagree with her wearing fur is jealous of her. For you to make comments that the women that you got into it with on Twitter are ugly and they're not pretty as Kim Kardashian, I think that's crazy.
Well, I'm telling you, Tamika, and this is not my imagination. I went over to their different Twitter accounts, and, you know, what's the saying, Steve? They make a freight train take a dirt road. You've got to see the kissers on these women. Now,
okay, but that's, I think Tamika's point is not every, that's a kind of a ridiculous statement. Are you saying that there's nobody with a valid a point of view that is opposed to fur?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
What we mean is every single woman that's opposed to the wearing of fur and therefore opposed to Kim Kardashian jealous of Kim Kardashian?
Well, if they're opposed to the wearing of fur, why don't they protest someone ugly? You know, like, I don't know, Barbara Walters.
That was such an ugly comment. That was so ugly for you to say that.
What did I say?
That comment by Barbara Walters, that is so ugly. That's an ugly comment for you to make.
Well, you know, Tamika, woman to woman, Barbara Walters is tough to look at.
It's a very cruel thing to say.
It is. Are you for real about the things that you are saying? Are you for real? Is this a joke?
Am I for real? First of all, I agree with you. We should be allowed to wear fur. And I see, as I said, I engaged a number of these women on Twitter. And I heard from them the most vicious and vile comments about Kim Kardashian and her sex life. And this and that. It goes well beyond her wearing a fur. It gets very personal. That's why I think it has a lot to do with the fact that she's just a very beautiful woman, very wealthy. She's a good businesswoman. So if they're against fur, I would think that they would spread their protests equally. Look, Barbara Walters is a very accomplished woman. But to lay your eyes on her for any longer than 10, 15 seconds, and blood veins will begin to,
So you can't keep from making a... Wow.
Well, this is my opinion.
It seems like to me you are a very shallow person and you're all about looks. You are so vain. But, again, I just pray that you change your way of thinking. Because not everything is about looks. You could disagree with somebody and not be jealous of them for the way they look or what they have. Everybody have a right to their opinion. You have your right. And the fur activists have their right to their opinions. But for you to say that everybody that opposed these people are jealous, that's crazy. That's all I'm saying.
If you find me a beautiful...
It's not nice for you to say people are unattractive. That's not nice.
I don't think... Look, I'm just saying, you find me a woman who is an absolute drop-dead gorgeous woman who's opposed to wearing fur, and I'll join you there in...
Okay.
The third dimension.
Chloe,
the fifth dimension.
Chloe opposed a wearing fur. Chloe is
right.
Nice looking
Chloe
lady,
Kardashian.
And she opposed. She said that and posed
well,
Peter.
You know why she did that? Do you know why she did that? I can tell you why.
Why?
Because she was angry when she found out she was adopted, and she wanted to go. She was
angry.
Oh my God! Lashing out.
I can't believe
oh
you
boy.
Said that.
Are you kidding? Okay, well, you know it's
thank
true.
Thank you for taking my call, Phil. I got to go.
She
now.
Lashed out.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tamika, for your phone call this evening. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445.
Wait a minute. What's this? Where is she?
She hung up, and I don't blame her.
I was talking, and she what?
She hung up, and I don't blame her.
Are you telling me that Khloe Kardashian was acting out and lashing out at her sisters and her mother for being lied to about being adopted, and so she did the ad saying, I'm against fur. It's the same thing as a child going, bleh.
Really? Well, the Khloe Kardashian being adopted comment that you just made, even though we have, that's been debunked.
Has it?
Yes, it has. And it's been debunked by the very women that you are defending here, Kim Kardashian and...
Khloe?
And Khloe.
I tripped you up. You mean Courtney.
Who's the... Yes, Courtney.
No, you said Khloe. So your point of view is completely invalid, and you have fallen into my trap, and, you know, I really got to go, Phil.
Yeah, you're gone. And I should have... When I first hung up on her, I should have stayed hung up.
You should have stayed hung up. She's the one that hung up.
What do you mean she should have? I hung up on her. Never mind. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. So anyway, we're very happy that Kim Kardashian is okay after being flower-bombed in West Hollywood. It's the Phil Henry Show.
How about that one time the lady got hit with a pie?
Yeah.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I'm telling you, I'm just a big apology to our... To our Phil TV and HD viewers, and I, you know, they get mad at me, and I don't blame them because for probably the of five shows this week, for the fifth time, we have had we muted our segment there on the Phil TV in HD video cast, and the only reason why we mute during our breaks is because we are doing phone screening, and we're talking business, and these are things that cannot go out over the air because they are business related. Conversations. And we don't mute every single break, but certainly when we're doing phone screening and stuff like that. Well, I forgot to unmute. And even though I've got Bud here, that's like not, you know, I don't mean anything, Bud.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, I know. I need to get a guy that knows how to do it. We need to get an on-site producer here at the El Pacifico because everything is remote these days in the radio world, and that is a good thing. That's part and parcel of how business is being done these days, not just in our business, but everybody is telecommuting. Well, that's fine and dandy when you're doing a radio show that is of minimal complexity on the technical side. But our show, there's a lot going on here, man. We got video. We've got, and the audio we do, I've got a mixing board. I've got all kinds of audio effects that are happening. And the microphone and the telephones, everything. So it's just like, I've got two hands and I should have eight, you know. I should be like Shiva, the multi-armed god of the Hindus. And if I was Shiva, the multi-armed god of the Hindus, I wouldn't be doing no talk show.
No, man, you'd be kicking it.
That's right. I'd be kicking it as right. I got to get an on-site producer, and that's all there is to that. But I apologize again to you guys in Phil TV land, and I should have had on, because I got Johnny Bean out there who keeps an eye on things, but I didn't have Google Talk on. So you got to remember, and we'll get it done, or I'll die trying. Anyway, welcome back. This is our news and information hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bud Dickman, how you doing, Bud?
Doing pretty good, Mr. Henry.
And Robert Leonard. Robert?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
And this is where we kick around some of the news, some of the stories the boys bring in, some of them I like looking at. Here's one that was, we actually were going to have a guy on talking about his experience with this. We'll have Mr. Remark on tomorrow, this is Friday, on Monday night. In Sacramento, authorities say a Montana man tried to bring four loaded semi-automatic handguns past a security checkpoint at Sacramento International Airport and was being held without bail on Friday.
What are we doing that for?
They don't know. There's no news yet on why this nut did this, but he tried to bring four loaded semi-automatic handguns past a security checkpoint. Now, Harold Waller, age 45, was arrested Thursday afternoon after Transportation Security Administration officials found a gun in one of his carry-on bags. Sacramento County Sheriff's Department provided a photo of this guy, and he doesn't look like too friendly of a customer. He looks the way you ought to look when you get arrested, angry and, you know, worried. All these cats with their mugshots where they're smiling. The first guy to do that, the first real smiling mugshot that I remember seeing from the standpoint of contemporary times was that guy, he was a congressman or something, he was a Bush administration guy. Delaney, something like Tom Delay, something like that. He was smiling, and everybody gave him a hard time for smiling. Everybody gave him a hard time for smiling until they got arrested. So the next one I saw of Mel Gibson, he was smiling. Then I saw one of another guy. He was smiling, you know. This guy looks the way you ought to look when you get popped. He looks angry and he looks a little worried. The photo provided by the Sacramento, California County Sheriff's Department shows a Mr. Harold Waller of Montana. He's being held without bail after authorities say he tried to bring these four guns past a security checkpoint at Sacramento International Airport. When TSA screeners conducted a more thorough check, they found Waller was carrying a loaded gun and had two other semi-automatic weapons packed in his carry-on bags. So,
in other words, when they checked this guy, it was a carry-on bag.
Now, he had, here's what happened. They found a gun in one of his carry-on bags. Then they conducted a more thorough check, and they found Waller was carrying a loaded gun himself. And then they found two other semi-automatic bags packed into semi-automatic weapons packed into the carry-on. After Waller was arrested, deputies searched his car and said they found, get a load of this, eight more guns, some of which were loaded.
That guy's going to do something bad.
Yeah, I think so. Those guns were a combination of handguns and what the officer described as long guns. Ramos said a significant amount of ammunition was found in the car as well. This is a guy that was planning some kind of a massacre, man, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to judge until all the facts are in.
You wouldn't want to judge until all the facts are in. You sound like George C. Scott and Mr. What's the guy's name?
Mr. Strangelove.
Not Mr. Strangelove.
No, Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Strangelove. That's what you sound like. I don't want to judge till all the facts are in.
Well, I mean, it's hard. You know, in America, you have the right to bear arms.
You got the right to bear arms, but you ain't got the right to carry, you know, loaded weapons on an airplane. Don't ask me why you don't have that right, but you don't.
You think you ought to have the constitutional right to do that?
I'll be perfectly honest with you. This is what I think. Here's what I think. I believe that while we do have an FAA and while we do have a National Transportation Safety Board, I do not believe that we need a TSA. Now, here's why I say that. I believe that we have a federal oversight. There's a federal apparatus that oversees the airways of America, the accident investigation, and so forth. When it comes to actually securing the safety of flying aircraft, I think that should be the job of the individual airlines.
What? What are you talking about?
You want me to go through it again?
No, I know what you mean. We dad, airline ought to have their own guys.
Yes. When you want to get on an Air New Zealand plane, there's the Air New Zealand security people. When you want to get on the Air Israeli, the, you know, the El Al, that's them. When you want to get on another one, that's them.
I bet you that Air Israeli one be pretty good.
Oh, you better believe it. You getting on a plane going to on to Israel? Don't worry about it. They're thorough. The pilots carry guns on those aircraft, so they don't screw around. I think it should be up to the airlines. Now, some people are going to get all upset and bent out of shape because that means that they'll tack on that as an expense to flying on their airline. Maybe they will. But you know, how much are we paying for it now? And do you like the value on your dollar? Do you like the value you're getting on your dollar invested in a TSA, ladies and gentlemen? Huh? Do you like it? I mean, I can't say that I don't, but I hear so much whining and crying and complaining from people about the Transportation Safety Administration. They don't like being touched. They don't like having their junk touched. They don't like this. They don't like that.
Yes. Who would want to have their junk touched?
Oh, he didn't get it touched. They don't, you know, so I would say rather than deal with it, rather than have to even make it a government problem, let the airlines deal with it. And do whatever you want to do, airline. Charge a lot of money. Keep people off your aircraft that way. Don't charge a lot of money. Lower. I don't know what you want to do. But I can guarantee you one thing, and this is a lock solid guarantee, that the security that you would encounter getting on and off of these individual airlines would be far better than what you're getting from the TSA. Way better. Because these individual airlines are not going to have, there's no percentage, man, on those guys getting a plane blown up in the sky or hijacked, because then they look like, you know, a bunch of stumble bumps. So these guys are obviously going to invest quite a bit of energy into securing their airlines. And maybe the reason why it isn't done is because the cost is prohibitive, or the cost is not so much prohibitive as it's just robbing Paul to pay Peter, you know?
What's that mean?
Yeah.
You never heard the phrase robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Well, you said Paul to Peter.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it means robbing Peter to pay Paul has to do with taking money out of one pocket and putting it into another one.
What?
I don't know why Peter and Paul, it's biblical, okay? Taking money from Peter and giving it to Paul, in the sense of the apostles, was taking money from one part of the bank and putting it into another. In other words, you're like taking money from yourself and giving it back to yourself. Do you understand?
Uh-uh. No.
Yes, you do. And you guys are saying you don't.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm talking about taking Peter and Paul.
Peter and Paul, they make the monster bar.
What monster? What's he talking about?
You know that coconut one.
The Mounds bar.
Yeah.
You're shaking, man. You want maybe get a drink of water or something?
I'm going to kick somebody's ass in about 5 seconds. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. So that's what that's what making the airlines do that would be. So getting back to this nut, this guy carrying a loaded weapon on him. He's got him in the carry-on. He's got him in the handbags. He's got him in the glad rags and handbags. He's got him in the car. He's got ammunition in the car. You telling me this guy, he's got long guns, he's got short guns, and he's got in-between guns, man.
Got young guns and got old guns.
Got young guns, old guns, my gun and your gun. And guess what?
Mama got a gun.
Right. There's guns everywhere, and, you know, don't tell me that guy. So, good job, TSA. But it's almost like the guy wanted to get caught, too. See, that's the bizarre thing about it.
Yeah, when you say the guy was going to plan something, I don't know, because usually a guy's going to kind of hide it.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the guy. I think mentally the guy's impaired. Yeah, mentally he's impaired. He might have thought he was, like, on his way to Vietnam to, you know, fight his own individual war. So who knows? All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So just kicking off with that weird-ass story. TSA did their job there. After unity over rampage in France, politics drives in wedges. You hear about this jihadist that they finally tracked down? French police had a blazing gun battle with this guy, finally killed him. it kind of brought the people of France together in the, on the question of security and the whole jihadist thing. Well, politics has reared its ugly head again. President Obama weighs in on Trayvon Martin's death and other news. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Truth
for your
is
Beverly
our
Hills
bitch,
hoodie.
The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. Here our News and Information Hour. The European Union has targeted Bashar al-Assad's wife with new sanctions. I don't know if they sanction people, but they do. I'm surprised by. I'm sure they've been doing it. I just don't know what that means. The European Union slapped sanctions on 12 more Syrians, including the British-born wife of President Bashar al-Assad and other close family members, as it seeks to add pressure on the top echelon of the regime. I got a real problem. I'll just come right out and tell you. I got a super, super problem with the with a British woman. I'm going to say it. She ought to know better.
That's racist.
No, it's not racist. No, it's not. If she were black and she were British. If she were Chinese and she were British. If she were...
How could you be Chinese and be British?
If she was British, if she was Chinese, but born in Britain.
That's like what they do in America. They don't do that over in England.
Yes, they do, because England used to have an empire. Okay?
What?
Why don't you think about some stuff before you start running your mouth? The British had an empire. So when the empire collapsed, a lot of people who lived in countries that were part of the British Commonwealth moved to Great Britain proper. And so you have generations of people in Great Britain who are born there, who are African, African Carib, who are Asian. So don't give me this stuff about how it's racist.
Yeah, but you were talking about she ought to know better because she's British.
Yes. Yes, she should.
Why?
Because she lived in and was raised in a democratic society. Now she I don't care if she was black. But make her black. Go ahead. Make her black. I would say the same thing.
I can't make her black, man. There ain't no... Are you sure there's black British people?
What are you, nuts or something, man? Yes, there's black British people. What's that group you like?
Yeah, you like the English beat.
Yeah, so what?
They got like three or four black guys in that group.
What?
Yes! God, what am I going to explain everything to you guys for?
Yeah, but I bet you they're American.
No, they ain't, man. They're not American. They're black guys that are born in England. Okay?
Tell them about that one cab driver you had.
I got into a cab in London, and the driver was black, and it was all like, right, sir, where you want me to take you, sir?
Blood, get out of here.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding, man. Why do you think a black guy is supposed to talk like an American?
I don't know. I just don't think black people came from America.
They come from Africa, you idiot. And I'm gonna,
hey, kick your ass, man. Hey, don't call him an idiot. You're the idiot. Robert, get a clue, will you, man? Please, before it's too late.
I don't know.
God, I thought all black people came from America. And you, shut up. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is if you're born in a democratic society, regardless of the race, you ought to know better. And you ought to know better about what a free society is as opposed to one that is a repressive society, a police state. And here this woman is married to this guy. Don't give me this. I think she's a disgrace. Here she is with the big smile on her kisser like she's some kind of a modern-day Jackie Kennedy. And I heard this imbecile. She was talking to one of the news agencies, talking to some reporter, and, we're just so good to our people, and we're just so this, and we're just so that. And you're asking yourself, was she born with, like, three-quarters of her brain intact? What happened here, man? Was it alcohol-fetal syndrome, or whatever they call it?
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
Whatever. The EU has already placed... Here is what we mean by a sanction on an individual. The EU has placed a travel ban and asset freeze on Mr. Assad, as well as on senior members of the government, military, and business communities. It has also slapped on an oil embargo and sanction the central bank in efforts to pressure Mr. Assad into stepping down over the violent repression of protests in his country. But mounting international condemnation of Mr. Assad's regime and high-level diplomatic pressure have so far failed to bring about a resolution of the year-old conflict that the United Nations says has killed more than 8,000 people. Imagine that. He's killed his own people. He's killed 8,000 of his own people. In protests across the country Friday, tens of thousands of Syrians vowed to storm the capital in Damascus. Activists reported dozens of anti-regime protests in towns and cities across Syria under the banner, "Damascus, we are coming." Security forces broke up many of them with gunfire and tear gas. The names of the new sanctioned targets will be released when the measure is published in the EU's official journal over the weekend. Diplomats confirmed the list includes Mr. Assad's mother, his sister, and his wife, UK citizen Asma al-Assad. UK citizen. Why do you do that, Great Britain? Why do you let people have that? And I guess we do, too, in the United States. This dual citizenship sucks. Why do you let her keep one foot in Great Britain? I think it stinks.
You're going to say it stinks. It stinks it up.
Yeah, that's right. I think it stinks up their country. I think it stinks up England. Having this chick, the wife. What the hell kind of game do these? Some of these women really crap me up. And I'm telling you this truly. I think there is this fantasy among a lot of Western women that they want to marry, you know.
Yeah, like Aladdin or something.
Yeah, they want to marry Aladdin, you know, and Ali Baba and all this jazz. Remember that one that was married to the king of Lebanon?
No, that was the king of Jordan.
That's it, the king of Jordan. That's that big argument you and I got into, Bud, because you said she worked on Space Mountain or something, and I said that no, she was a representative of Disney.
I still think she worked. Well, it wasn't Space Mountain, I think it was Dumbo Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Bud. It was the Dumbo Ride. You're right. God.
Why would you never marry a girl from the Dumbo Ride?
Why would the king of Jordan want to marry a chick that's working the Dumbo Ride? I don't get that, man. I mean, I'm telling you, she was a girl that worked for Disney in there. They have this ambassador deal, you know, where you have people, they're schooled in public relations, and they go out and they greet all these heavyweights that come to Disneyland and actually go on the Dumbo Ride. Maybe you saw him on the Dumbo Ride with her. Maybe that was it. So,
no, but I think they were on the Dumbo Ride, wrote on a teacup. But what's the one you throw up on?
What's the one you throw up on? I've never thrown up on...
They had a teacup, though.
Yeah, that's it. Never mind. So, I think these people, a lot of these Western women that marry these exotic leaders of foreign lands, man, they get some kind of vision of being, you know, feted and fed grapes by some big strapping eunuch while people dance on a carpet. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. But now here's this woman, a British citizen, who is married to a guy that, in my opinion, is a modern-day Stalin, if not Hitler. I mean, just a butchering, murdering animal, and she's married to him with her big, fat smile and her Jackie Kennedy manner. Hey, what a bizarre, surreal scene that is. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our news and information hour. PhilHendryShow.com for your backstage pass to watch live streaming video of the show. Get all of those archives. Watch our Hendry Family Home Movies, which are newly installed there at PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the king of Syria singing to the girl.
Yeah, that's the king of Syria singing to that lady from England.
Well, it's like the president of Syria, Assad.
Yeah, it's just Assad singing to that British lady.
Meanwhile, they're gonna machine gun a few people, and then he's gonna come back and make all kind of groovy love to her.
Yeah. Take you wonder by wonder. Then machine got a bunch of people. Then you can make real sweet love to her on Rocky Top.
Yeah, I heard that. Ride a whole new world.
Iron Swine.
Hold on for a minute. What does she want?
A line too.
No one to tell us no.
Yeah, Margaret.
Can I please say something?
Go ahead.
You are absolute. All of you are a disgrace. You really are a racist disgrace.
Why are we a racist disgrace?
You're playing this song, and this is the Syrian king and the...
The Syrian butcher, that Assad.
This is anti-Arabia. I think it's very anti-Arabia. And therefore, it is racist. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You don't know what's going on over there, how those people, what pressures they're under.
Oh, give me a break. Are you telling me that this song, as I said, reflects a sentiment among a lot of little Western girls? They want to marry their Alibaba, or whatever the hell the guy is.
Alibaba? Are you talking about Aladdin? That's what this is from. A whole new world. I can't believe that you carved this a new ass.
What'd she say?
Well, you heard her. I can't believe you. Oh, man. Well, all I can tell you is there's so many. Okay, bud.
So beautiful.
All right. That's really great, bud. So in any event, I do believe that there's a little bit of that going on. I don't know how much, and I know I don't mean to. I'm not trying to. It's got nothing to do with being racist or being, Amerocentric or anything.
What's that mean?
It basically, it's got nothing to do with me putting down Middle Eastern culture. We're talking about the notion that a woman from a democratic society like the UK marries some animal. Just an animal. This guy has butchered up 8,000 of his own people. 8,000 people have been murdered in cold blood by this bum. And there she is with the big kisser. Hi, I'm Mrs. Assad. And really, let me just kind of PR your ass. Let me tell you how it is. She thinks that she's giving the White House tour. I'm telling you, man. She ain't giving a White House tour. She's giving you a tour of the graveyard.
That's really, you should write that down and give it over to, I don't know, like Glenn Beck or something, because that's very meaningful.
Write it down and give it to Glenn Beck because it's meaningful.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go.
Wait a minute.
No, hold on.
Iron Swine.
Iron Swine.
Today on Iron Swine, Iron Swine goes to Syria, man. And shuts down all them caterwauling banshees, all them caterwauling Arab.
Yeah, Iron Swine goes over to the Middle East to tell that dictator to shut it off, man. You know, you're wilting my permanent.
As Iron Swine comes up to the Syrian palace and he hears Assad, that guy that butchered up all them people, he's singing to the British lady. Show
you the world. Yeah, it sounds gay, too.
Sure does. Shining, shimmering spoon. What do you want, Iron Swine?
Shut up and shut that caterwauling off. You're singing a stupid song, and that lady's stupid, too.
Well, that's my wife. How dare you?
Yeah.
Ow, you just hit my wife.
That's right.
Iron Swine.
What?
That's the dumbest Iron Swine I think you've ever done.
Why is it dumb?
What? I don't understand. What did he do?
He went down to the Middle East and slapped the lady.
Okay, so he slapped Assad's wife and then split? Why didn't he arrest Assad and all that stuff?
Because of international law.
Oh, international law, I see. Iron Swine is respecting international law, but he could go down to Syria and slap the guy's wife.
Yeah. See? She just shut up.
Get out of here. Okay. What does she want now?
She's on the line, man. She wants to talk.
You know, I've all night long, man, I've had people telling me how to do my job, people telling me how to do my show. Turn that freaking Iron Swine off, will you? Margaret?
I have been sitting here patiently while you have been going through your childish antics, and I think it's time it stopped. I listened very patiently as you took the beautiful, beautiful culture of the Assyrians And you made it into a running gag. You turned it into a little bit of vaudeville soft shoe. You took the president of Syria, who, yes, Phil, he's had problems, and the beautiful wife of the president of Syria, Mrs. Assad, yes, she's British, and she's lovely. And you mocked their marriage, you mocked their love, you mocked their relationship, you mocked their culture, you mocked their country.
And I mocked their killing of 8,000 people.
And you mocked their killing of... Let's forget about that for... I gotta go.
Get her out of here. All right, a couple of things to tell you before we split here. Well, we got a few more minutes left on the radio show. Hunger Games, you know, this movie is going to be, or is actually out, and it premiered tonight, The Hunger Games. I don't know what it is any more than you do. However, I will see it. But it is also extremely popular among young people. And now there's a controversy going on in this film, accusing Harry Potter fans of a trademark violation over a charitable campaign. Now, Lionsgate has asked Harry Potter Alliance's Imagine Better is the name of this Harry Potter Alliance group that is a charity group, Imagine Better, to stop promoting a good cause called Hunger Is Not a Game. They're claiming the organization causes damage to the studio's marketing efforts. That is the name of the Harry Potter Alliance's Imagine Better campaign. The group is called Imagine Better. It is called Hunger Is Not a Game, obviously a play on the title of this film, The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games has accused Harry Potter fans of using its intellectual property to promote a good cause. Well, I don't think that that's how they worded it, you know.
Yeah, it's like, hey, stop it. You're promoting a good cause.
But that's a good example of how news is reported, how news is spun. All of a sudden, oh, they're against them promoting a good cause. Well, that's what the reporter would like you to believe. In any event, The Hunger Games has accused Harry Potter fans of using its intellectual property to promote a good cause. Lionsgate, the studio which is distributing the new movie, has issued a takedown notice to Hunger Is Not a Game campaign, to the Hunger Is Not a Game campaign by Harry Potter Alliance's Imagine Better project, asking them to remove any mention to the slogan. A takedown notice is something that you give to someone who is using something that is copyright protected that they do not have the right to use. And the takedown notice has to be issued by the copyright holder, and they have to say to the copyright violator, excuse me, well, they're not really violating, because you do have a thing called safe harbor. You can use it, but the minute the person tells you to take it down, you have to take it down. So it goes. And so that's what a takedown is. So some people, a lot of people, in fact, ignore them and continue to violate the copyright. And that's when they get into serious trouble. And that's a lot of these things you've been hearing about lately, like that Kim.com dude. You know, and others. Kim.com is a guy that was enabling, streaming, linking, however you want to put it, copyright-protected material. And what got his ass into trouble wasn't that he was doing it. It was that he ignored the takedown notices. That's what got Pirate Bay raided. That's what gets anybody into trouble. And that's where the violation of the law takes place. And in any event, the studio claims the project, which is spearheaded by the socially conscious fan group in partnership with Oxfam, which is I don't know what, is piggybacking off of its motion picture and causing damage to Lionsgate and our marketing efforts. It initially says that they are on the same side in food sustainability issue, meaning the Hunger Games and Lionsgate. They're on the same side as the Harry Potter Fan Alliance in making food sustainable and available. And that it is teamed up with the UN's World Food Program and Feeding America to fight hunger. So they're saying, we're already out front on this feeding people thing. You guys don't need to be doing that. Or if you do it, please don't ride on our sloganeering or using our slogan, because you're hurting our efforts to feed people. Noting that it wants to solve the issue delicately, Senior Vice President Business Affairs and Litigation, Liat Cohen, states in his letter, We are truly making an effort to work with you on this. We have the ability to take down your sites as a violation of our trademark and other intellectual property laws. We hope that will not be necessary, as this is too serious a subject. In his campaign, Imagine Better uses such references to the movie as The Water Games and Districts. An activist has since launched a petition in response to Lionsgate's demand, asking fans to support the project and telling Lionsgate to stand with us, not against us. All right, what they're saying there is, let us use your slogan, because if you guys are against hunger and we have this thing going on, let us use your slogan. Okay. But Lionsgate doesn't want them to. And really, that's a very short argument. That's not a law. That's not an argument. And this is where a lot of these people make their mistake. It's like arguing with a cop over whether a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is a good idea. What do you, you know, the speed limit is there. It may be a bad idea. It may be the worst idea in the world. And maybe it's something you want to change. But you can't talk to the cop about it. The cop's there. He says, you broke this law. My job is to give you a ticket. People in the out in the internet world, they don't get that. They want to sit and jawjack and discuss and gas bag all this crap, and it's an argument they're not going to win. And so what winds up happening is they get all pissed off because somebody did what? Enforce the law. How dare them? So here they're saying, no, we want you to stand with us, not against us. Okay, that's a very nice point of view. Thank you very much for that. But guess what? We think we'd like you to take it down anyway. Now what? The trademark violation issue aside, Hunger Games has had a good start, raking in $1.3 million in IMAX midnight shows on Thursday. The movie is estimated to earn as much as $125 million in its first weekend. This is erroneous. This is May 23rd.
No, you mean March 23rd.
Okay, March 23rd. And the date today is the 24th, am I right? It's now the 24th. So on the 23rd, Friday night, last night, it made $1.3 million. That's not a lot of money. Oh, that was just in the IMAX midnight shows. The IMAX midnight shows as of Thursday night. So last night, Friday night, is a whole other thing.
But I don't get what you're talking about when you say that they...
Do we have to break, Dan? I can't remember. Okay, let's take a break.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
We're going to take a break. You can ask your question either during the break or after. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Join us this weekend. Get a backstage pass. Watch our Hendry Home movies. Listen to over a decade's worth of full show audio. Watch our Saturday night video and audio from the KFI shows in Los Angeles that we did for over a year. All kinds of stuff to see and feel and hear and touch and love at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is from Wikipedia. The Hunger Games is pulling this off of Wikipedia, man, because I didn't read the book. And one of the problems I got is I'm not a big sci-fi fan. It's not really science fiction. It's more fantasy than it is science fiction. It's futuristic. It's apocalyptic. It's about a future society where young kids compete in what are called the Hunger Games. And they have to compete in a televised battle, and only one person survives this televised battle. You've got a lot of elements in there of Logan's Run. People of my generation may remember Logan's Run, where once you turned 30, you exploded. You know, you had that chip in your hand, and they put you in a stadium, and they made a spectacle out of your death. And Logan is splitting. He's trying to run away from all of this. There's a little bit of Soylent Green in here. There's a lot of... And I'm not trying, Death Race 2000 kind of a thing. I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm just saying for people that are trying to grasp it, it's that flavor. And anyway, the author, Suzanne Collins, said that she was inspired, and this is very interesting. She says the inspiration to write The Hunger Games came from, and again, I'm getting this from Wikipedia, came from channel surfing on television. One channel, she observed people competing on a reality show, and on another site or another channel, she saw footage of the invasion of Iraq. She said, quote, the two began to blur in this very unsettling way, and the idea for the book was formed. Well, they didn't blur in an unsettling way. She just said, how can I make the two of these a book?
Yeah, probably.
All right, hold it. Well, anyway, the Greek myth of Theseus.
Thesaurus. That's what you look up a word in.
No, that ain't Thesaurus. It's Theseus. Served as the basis for the story, which Collins describing one of her characters as this Greek character. And the Roman gladiatorial games that were the basis of that particular story formed the framework for this book. The Roman gladiatorial games have formed the framework for a lot of futuristic things, you know.
Yeah, like pro wrestling.
Exactly. Now, what do you mean pro wrestling?
Well, dumb, man, if you think about it.
No, I don't. What do you mean pro wrestling? I mean, I get the whole gladiatorial thing. But maybe I'm thinking of the Colosseum.
In L.A.?
No, the Roman. Weren't you talking about gladiators?
Yeah.
The Roman Colosseum in Rome. In Rome. So, and that's a very big event and a very large stage. But hey, you know, your point's well taken. So that's essentially it. Collins stated that the Vietnam War also affected the story, whose heroine lost her father at the age of 11, 5 years before the story begins. Collins stated that the deaths of the young characters and other dark passages were the hardest parts of the book to write, but she had accepted she would be writing such scenes. She considered the moments where one of the characters reflects on happier moments in her past to be the more enjoyable passages to write. So it's an apocalyptic, dark, futuristic vision, yada, yada, yada. A lot of people have read the book. It's, you know, I guess I'm just too much of a geek, man.
What do you read, man?
Well, what do you, I mean, I don't read, I read history and stuff, you know, and I don't read sci-fi, I don't read fantasy,
You said you did one time, didn't you?
I read, yeah, I did. I mean, at one time when in my life I was surrounded by these cats that were all science fiction freaks, so I couldn't get away from it. And I had one particular friend who was just a stone science fiction nut, and I had another friend of mine who was really into it. He turned me on to Isaac Asimov and, Frederick Pohl and Harlan Ellison and people like that, but I never did quite embrace it. I always find the best reading for me is when I pick up a good book of history, but that's how dorky I am. And maybe I should begin to expand my horizons a little bit.
What's that mean?
Expanding my horizons. Do something a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, well, let's go out and see this movie this weekend.
That we will. Let's go see Hunger Games. We'll come back and give you guys a book report. How about that on Hunger Games?
Yeah, but if it blows, can we go into another theater and see something else?
If it blows, you can go into another theater and see something. If it blows, we'll just leave. Can you go into another theater? Are you allowed to do that?
I did it one time, man. I went from one theater to the next. Probably seen like 5 different movies, and they never did catch me.
Yeah, I did that one time. They gotta be pretty stupid, you know. You can do it if you want to.
I don't know, man. If I want to go see a movie, I'm going to go see a movie. I'm going to sneaking from one theater to the next. Okay, so that wraps that up, man. I'm telling you. By the way, we'll be back on Monday night. And next week, I believe, we will be working on Paul Scheer's TV show there on Adult Swim. So, but we'll give you guys updates on that. And we thank you. Our show is produced, of course, by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get your backstage pass and also see all of those fantastic Hendry family home movies. You got to check those out at philhendryshow.com. And also, of course, the thousands of hours of archived material. And if you get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, you know, just get it because you want to stay warm, not because you're buying it in solidarity with any political thing. That's not what we're about.
That's right, Mr. Henry.
We'll see you guys Monday night.
Phil Hendry.